Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back and bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
To Activity Quest. I'm Bex, I'm back, and I'm giving you loads of stuff that you can do no matter where you are. In this episode, Dan's talking lockdown sing-song with Yolanda Brown. We're hearing about a brand new way to meet authors and explore your favourite stories. Plus, Anna Louise is updating us on all things Farmyard. And we've got loads more virtual events to share with you. First, though, I'm going to give you some stuff that you can do in your very own home. These are my mini missions, and I'm sharing them every day on my show on Fun Kids. Now, this week, I set loads of challenges, and you know what, Fun Kids listeners, they jumped up at those challenges. I've asked listeners to write haikus, to do a self-portrait, to invent a superhero, to get in touch with a family member. But my favourite mission this week was to go outside and see, first of all, if you could find a muddy puddle to jump in. Secondly, to see if you could find a conker. And thirdly, and most importantly, I would say, to find a big leaf, the biggest leaf you possibly can. Luke and Kira got in touch. They emailed me a picture of their big leaf, so thank you for that. I didn't know there were leaves that big. They were as big as their head, to be honest. And somebody on Apple Podcasts wrote that they went for a walk and found a leaf, pressed it between two heavy books to preserve it, and then drew it. That is absolutely making the most of leaves. Apparently, by the way, I found out pressing things removes the moisture and it stops them from decaying as quickly. You can do that with flowers as well, I believe, in summer and springtime. So remember, whatever you do and wherever you do it, I want to hear about it, partly because it's really cool, and also partly, if I'm honest, because I am super nosy. One of the ways you can get in touch is by leaving a 5-star review. Remember, not one, not two, not three, not four, but 5! Wherever it is you're listening to this, go and pop those 5 stars down. Rainbow Unicorn 12 took an idea from Josh a few weeks ago and has made an instrument by filling little glasses of water and tapping them with spoons. That is classic Josh. She also left a question for the QILs for me, so thank you so much for doing that, Rainbow Unicorn 12. Magical Sloth Girl has been making a reading nook and put loads of fairy lights in it, so it's really cosy. Oh, I'm jealous. I want to do that as well. Exit 2 says, this is the best podcast ever, and you have done an awesome job in lockdown. Well, thank you so much, Exit 2. Any appreciation is much appreciated. You can also get in touch at funkidslive.com/activityquest. Send us your thoughts as a video or as an audio clip. You can upload pictures and we might feature them in future episodes. You will be Fun Kids famous. You'll practically be a Fun Kids presenter, to be honest. Still to come, Anna Louise is telling us about the latest on her farm and Cressida Cowell is reading from her book, How to Train Your Dragon. But before all of that, Dan caught up with Yolanda Brown earlier in the week. She's a musician, you might know her from Yolanda's band Jam, and she's got a brand new album coming out soon, and she's been making loads of music in the lockdown. So, here's Dan and Yolanda. Dan is starting with a pretty tricky question.
What's the hardest instrument you've ever tried to play?
Oh, that's a tricky one. And I've actually had a fun time learning different instruments on Yolanda's band Jam. I would say there was a wonderful Indian instrument and it had lots of strings called a sarangi. And it was really quite tricky to pluck all of those strings and get a lovely, beautiful sound out of it. But our guest was much, much better at it. But I'm definitely intrigued to learn a bit more.
Because you are pretty fantastic at every instrument, you have this you have this musical brain. Are you quite good at just picking up something and within 5 or 10 minutes being able to carry some tune on it?
I do like that challenge. Yes, I do. I think the wonderful thing is you can actually make music with anything. And that's something that I always tell my brain, rather than think that this is going to be really hard to play, just think, what sound can I make that would make, you know, something sound good? So even if you're tapping a table or banging a cup or flicking an elastic band, that's all music making. So with that in mind, if I come up to a new instrument, I do like to challenge myself to try and make the best sound I can out of it.
Well, with that, I've asked you what the hardest instrument is. This might be a random one, but what instrument do you think you've made the best sound you've ever made with?
Ooh, well, I would have to say the piano, actually. And I think this is something that a lot of us can get behind, because you can always pick out some sort of tune. It might not sound like the biggest piano sound you've ever heard, but I do like playing the piano and just trying to pick out different songs and different sounds. And every day I go up to the piano, or sometimes a little xylophone. My daughters have lots of little xylophones around the house, and I love to pick out different sounds and different tunes on there.
You've done so much musically. I mean, I've spoken about your massive music brain, but you know, you've toured with some ultimate legends like Billy Ocean, Beverly Knight, and you present Band Jam on the telly, and now you've got your debut album out. Where do you start with that, Yolanda, when you've got all these different musical ideas mishmashing in your brain, which you must have? What's the first thing you do when you're going to make an album?
The first thing to do when making an album would be to find out the songs that you want to put on there first. And it was easier this time round, because this is a Yolanda's Band Jam album. So all of the songs that we know and love, the songs that reoccur, we play every single time that the Band Jam is on. It's kind of like the first time when we all get dancing in the studio. And whenever I met people that watched the Band Jam, they were always asking, where can I hear the songs? I want to be able to play it on my radio or on my streaming player. And I said, right, that's going to be my first album. So it was actually a much easier task this time around, because I already had the songs. And so I was just in my mind thinking about all of the band jammers. We call everybody that's dancing along, we call you band jammers. I was just imagining all the band jammers at home enjoying the album. And so this was actually one of the easiest albums to make, and I'm quite thankful for that.
Well, I'm so excited to play some when I get my hands on the album. This year has been it's been a strange one. I know it's been a very busy year for you, but it's been a strange year for everyone. I know that you've been homeschooling. Yeah. How do you think music, not just learning instruments, but listening to music, how do you think that helps us out during kind of weird, unusual times?
I think music helps us in many, many ways. You know, it helps us be energetic and have fun and dance around, which is really important when we're at home. We need to exercise and we need to get up and be moving. But also, you know, it helps us to relax. And at times like this, when we're not quite sure what's going on, we do need to just take a moment and just take a deep breath and relax. So nice calming music can do that. And also, music is great to be able to do things together. So, you know, with brothers and sisters, mum and dad, you can get up and make your own festival as well. When the weather was really nice, I've got two daughters now. I've got a six-year-old Jemima and I've got a nine-month-old Adelphi, and they love music, and we're always banging on something or making up songs. And then in the end, we actually sort of are able to perform these songs for our friends and family over the internet through the computer, which has been really, really fun. So I think music really allows us to relax, but also allows us to share time with our friends and family. And I've seen lots of wonderful people making choirs through the internet or singing at home together, making up music. And I think that will keep us nice and calm. It will make us even remember this time. Once we're all through it and we're back to normal, I bet there will be some songs that even you've been playing here on the radio that makes us think, do you remember when we had to stay at home? You know, we'll always have memories with music.
Well, a little bit more on that. If someone is listening right now and they might be stuck at home, they might be thinking, oh, we're going to be stuck at home for a few more weeks. And maybe they want to pick up an instrument and just try and get a little bit better to use this time kind of productively. What's the first thing that you think someone who's getting into music should do to make them become a maestro in a few years' time, just like you?
Well, I think the fun bit about learning an instrument to start with is, what instrument do you pick? And, you know, if you have access to different instruments, so you can speak to your parents and they can invest in sort of even hiring an instrument, just renting it for a little while till you get used to it. Have a listen to different types of music. What comes out at you? Is it the voice? Do you hear the voice more because the voice is an instrument as well? Or are you hearing the drums? Are you hearing the guitar or the saxophone, the horns? And whatever you're hearing the most usually is a good indication of which instrument to try. And there's lots of wonderful online lessons as well that you can do. My daughter decided she wanted to learn the saxophone during lockdown, and I was able to rent one, and I didn't have to buy it straight away. You can rent one and just get used to it, and she's really enjoying that. But also, if you know, if you haven't got access to musical instruments and it's a little bit more tricky, then actually you can also make your own instruments or use toy instruments that you might have. They're really good to make good sounds with, and it's a great place to start, and then later on you can build on that in many different ways.
Thanks, Yolanda, and thanks to Dan. Now, I want you to do me a favour. Wherever it is you're listening to this, I want you to go and subscribe to Story Explorers. This is a big quest for you. It's a brand new podcast from Fun Kids. Every week we're chatting to an author to find out more about what it is they do. Last week, it was the turn of Cressida Cowell. She's the author of the Wizards of Wants series and of the phenomenally successful How to Train Your Dragon. And here's a clip from Story Explorers of her reading that very book.
I'm reading this bit because it makes me laugh. And it's Hiccup. He's got his own dragon. He's stolen the dragon from the dragon nursery at the beginning. And his dragon in the books is this very tiny dragon. He's a hunter. He's not the same as the Toothless in the films. Because in the films, he has a Windwalker dragon, which is his riding dragon. This is his little hunting dragon, who's very small and very asleep. Yeah. So the dragon hasn't woken up yet. And this is the moment when Toothless wakes up. Toothless woke up about 3 weeks later. Fishlegs and Hiccup was Hiccup's house. Everybody else was out, so Hiccup decided to take the opportunity to check on Toothless's basket. He pulled it out from under the bed. A thin plume of bluey grey smoke was drifting out from under the lid. Fishlegs whistled. "He's awake, all right," said Fishlegs. "Here we go." Hiccup opened the basket. The smoke billowed out and made Hiccup and Fishlegs cough. Hiccup fanned it away. Once his eyes had stopped watering, he could make out a very small, ordinary dragon looking up at him with enormous, innocent, grass-green eyes. "Hello, Toothless," said Hiccup, in what he hoped was a good accent in Dragonese. "What are you doing?" asked Fishlegs curiously. Dragonese is punctuated by shrill shrieks and popping noises and sounds most extraordinary when spoken by a human. "Just talking to it," mumbled Hiccup, very embarrassed. "Just talking to it?" Because nobody can talk to dragon, apart from Hiccup. Gasped Fishlegs in astonishment. "What do you mean you're talking to it? You can't talk to it. It's an animal, for Thor's sake." "Oh, shut up, Fishlegs," said Hiccup impatiently. "You're frightening it." Toothless huffed and puffed and blew out some smoke rings. He inflated his neck to make himself look bigger, which is something dragons do when they're scared or angry. Eventually, he got up the courage to unfold his wings and flap up to Hiccup's arm. He walked his way up onto Hiccup's shoulder, and Hiccup turned his face towards him. Toothless pressed his forehead onto Hiccup's forehead and gazed deeply and solemnly into Hiccup's eyes. They stayed there, snout to nose, without moving for about 60 seconds. Hiccup had to blink a lot because the gaze of a dragon is hypnotic and gives the unnerving feeling that it is sucking your soul away. Hiccup was just thinking, "Wow, this is amazing, I'm really making contact here," when Toothless bent down and bit him on the arm. Hiccup let out a yelp and threw Toothless off him. "F-f-f-f-fish!" hissed Toothless, hovering in the air in front of Hiccup. "Want fish now!" "I haven't got any fish," said Hiccup in Dragonese, rubbing his arm. Luckily, Toothless didn't have any teeth, but dragons have powerful jaws, so it was still painful. Toothless bit him on the other arm. "F-f-f-f-fish!" said Toothless again. "Are you okay?" asked Fishlegs. "I can't believe I'm asking this, but what's he saying?" "He wants to eat," replied Hiccup, grimly rubbing both arms. He tried to make his voice sound firm but pleasant, to dominate the creature by the sheer force of his personality, as Gobber had said. "But we have no fish!" "Okay then," said Toothless. "Eat c-c-c-cat!" He made a lunge for Fiddlesticks, who streaked up the nearest wall with a yowl of terror. Hiccup just managed to grab Toothless by the tail as he flew off in pursuit. The dragon struggled wildly, shouting, "Want fish now! Want food now! Cats are yummy! Want food now!"
We don't have any fish, repeated Hiccup from between gritted teeth, feeling all his calmness deserting him. And you can't eat the cat. I like him.
That's fantastic. Well, you're right about it being funny. And there's something beautiful, isn't there, about hearing a story read.
Yes.
As much as it's nice to read a story,
yes,
you can make it come alive when you read it.
Yes. Well, that's why I write my books to be read aloud. So I give Toothless that's a bit of a stammer, so it's fun to read aloud. I make Gobber really big. And in the Wizards of Once books, I have Squeeze Juice talking, who's the little tiny sprite, talking in this tiny little squeaky voice. And I do that to make it fun to read aloud. And so I always say to kids, get your mums and dads to read aloud to you way beyond the age you can read for yourselves. Just 10 minutes a day. Yeah, because it's a great way of getting kids reading. And it's great, you know, and that's why I make the stories to make the dads cry or the mums laugh. Yeah, because it sends a great message to the kids, you know, that books are important. They have the power to make my dad cry or my mum laugh.
All right, big thank you to Cressida. And there you go. She's given you another great thing you can do at home there. Why not try grabbing a book and acting it out, doing all of the voices and stuff? Maybe you could perform it to your family at home. Remember, that was from Story Explorers, and that's a brand new podcast from Fun Kids. Subscribe right now, wherever it is you're listening to this. All you got to do is search for Story Explorers. There's a brand new episode every day, and this week it's the turn of Catherine Rundle. Ah, my old friend. She's written The Explorers and loads more books. She's properly awesome. So that's Story Explorers, and you can get it wherever it is you're listening to this. Okay, here's what else you can get up to, this time from the comfort of your very own home.
The Ocean Conservation Trust are taking us on a tour of the world. That's very kind of them. Free online lessons all about the oceans are taking place right now. Each lesson features loads of presenters speaking from around the globe. You can find out all about coral reefs as well as food chains in the ocean. The lessons are designed to be put on during school time. You can ask your teacher to head to encounteredu.com or the website of the National Aquarium in Plymouth. The Tate has launched two brand new interactive quizzes. Which art activist are you is going to give you the name of an artist you're most like. You could be Ai Weiwei, whose work has featured in Activity Quest before when Bex visited the Imperial War Museum. There's also Which Arty Fairy Are You? You can find them at tate.org.uk/kids. And finally, explore the night sky with the Royal Observatory in Greenwich. There's loads of make-and-do activities designed by astronauts, all of which you can do from the comfort of your own home. You can browse through videos that show you how to make your own solar system in a box, draw your own star-forming nebula, or make a galaxy of your own with Galaxy Goo. rmg.co.uk for that one.
Remember, the rules on what we can and can't do at the moment have changed, and they're different for every part of the UK. So do check before you travel, and remember to always follow the rules wherever you are. And whatever you do, it's the motto of Activity Quest. Tell us! Go to funkidslive.com/activityquest. That is the place to let us know what you've been up to. Now it's time to catch up with our resident farmhand, Anna Louise, on her very own farm, the Mini Motley Sanctuary. Last week, you might remember it was guinea pigs and their brand new island paradise. So let's find out what she's been getting up to this week.
That is the sound of very hungry horses loving their treats. Every morning we head out on the sanctuary to check the horses first thing and give them their morning breakfast, which is a bale of hay that they share between the three of them. We've got two little miniature rescues and a big horse called Winnie, who can be ridden. She's an absolute beauty with two bright blue eyes. She looks like a mythical beast out of a film, and she's got a really long flowing mane. This is Diesel, who you can hear sucking on some cherry sweets. They're his favourites. He loves to jump and he loves to nuzzle us for more. He can never have too many treats. He is a beautiful chestnut colour and grey, and he's got patches all over his body. And in the far distance, Wilson is our little dun pony. He's got a black mane and tail and a light brown body. And this week it's been very stressful because Wilson had some injuries from the fireworks. every year, the 5th of November and the weekend afterwards is always a really difficult time at the animal sanctuary because the animals are scared of firework displays. And in the village, there are lots of families who like to buy fireworks and blast them off fairly near to the fields. Even in the distance, the sounds of the banging and the crashing and the whizzing can be heard for miles, and it absolutely terrifies the horses. They gallop around in circles, and sometimes it can startle them so much that they can run through fences and injure themselves. And it was little Wilson this year who just ran too fast. He stumbled down the hill and landed on his knees. Luckily, we do lots of checks at this time of year. We check in the evening, in the afternoon, in the nighttime sometimes. We even have to come up late at night to stand with the horses, to stroke them, to calm them down, to soothe them and comfort them, to make sure they know that everything is okay and that we will keep them safe. He's been on his own for this week for 4 days to rest his legs. He had swollen knees. They were double the size compared to usual. He was plodding along. Wilson normally likes to gallop along at the speed of light with the herd of horses, but he was keeping back. He was on his own in the woodland. He didn't want to be with the rest of the herd. He couldn't keep up when they were playing and interacting, and he looked very sad and unhappy. So we led him to his lovely luxury paddock for the week with lots of lovely long grass and a big pile of hay. And it's a cordoned off area so that he's separate to the horses, so that when they play and gallop, he doesn't feel he has to try and keep up, so that he can rest his knees, so that he can heal and allow all of the swelling to go down. It also meant that we could put on packets of peas. Mum also runs the animal sanctuary with me. Mum, we had to buy frozen bags of peas, didn't we? Put them in the freezer and bring them out for Wilson's treatment.
That was it. It was peas for knees this week. But Wilson was not impressed. It was cold and it was on those little knees of his, slept on those knees, and he was thinking, what on earth is going on? And that's the really frustrating thing with animals. You can't explain that actually you are trying to help them.
And the rest has done him good. And funny enough, even though he is our little escape artist, our little Houdini horse that we call him, he didn't manage to get out this week, which is good because his legs have healed. He is out and about. He's just happily grazing in the long grass in the distance with his friends. And fingers crossed, he is now fully on the road to recovery.
I love finding out about Anna Louise's farm. Thank you so much for that, Anna Louise. And that is it for the end of the show. So whatever you do, tell us at funkidslive.com/activityquest. And remember to rate, review and subscribe wherever it is you're listening to this. I've been and continue to be Bex. This has been a podcast from the UK's children's radio station Fun Kids. And you can listen to me on DAB digital radio, online, on the free Fun Kids mobile app and on your smart speaker. Just say, play Fun Kids! Every weekday from 4 p.m, where I'll be giving you more mini missions that you can do at home. I'll see you then, right? Bye! So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back. And bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.